Hey, I'm Lindsay Shooters, business journalist at Daily Maverick, and I'm spending some time with Acting Group SAA CEO Matshele Shashibe. So Matshele, you were chosen in-house from Airchefs, where you led the only real well-performing business unit within the group. How did that prepare you for your current position?
Two ways. Firstly, I joined in 2024, but I was doing two roles at Lindsay. I was a member of Exco at SAA. I'm an employee of SAA, so I was a member of Exco, fully participating in strategies, formulation, and some execution in certain functions across the group. That familiarized myself with the operations of the company. At the same time, I was running Airchefs as a CEO of Airchefs, and which is a key supplier of SAA. Some of the problems that SAA had at the time were common across, like the issue of compliance, for example. And with the team there, we decided to be at the forefront of implementing and setting the tone for the business around what can be achieved with certain, call it routines, working across functions, collaborations, even with internal audits and external audits on that scale to show what is possible in a short space of time. And we're very grateful that we saw an improvement in the audit outcome. Not only that, we looked at the business model at Airchefs and to try to understand the levers of revenue growth, the levers of efficiencies and cost modeling. And we make sure that we maximize those in order to generate profitability. Airchefs is a profitable subsidiary of SAA. The principles of running a successful business are the same. The application of those principles obviously differ by industry. So from the participation in the strategy sessions, my contributions to some of the execution at group and the success at Airchefs, the board decided that I had the necessary capability to come and act as a group CEO.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm sure you'll do a great job. But talking about those audit outcomes, so the Auditor General told Parliament that the financial statements for SAA were, in their words, not mine, so severe that we could not even audit most of the things. It was really impressive to see you lead, like, with accepting the outcomes at the committee and rather than contesting it, yeah? So what is the strategy to address, like, the control failures that produced the documents that qualified the audit team, that the qualified audit team couldn't work with? And is that failure corrected or still present?
Yes, I'm glad you're saying that. We respect the opinion of the Auditor General. They are very thorough in their work. And they use their torch to shine in areas of our business that may not have been clearly apparent. But I'd like to give context here on the Auditor General report. Take you back to the start of the restart of SAA in 2021. SAA restarted with skeleton staff and managed to grow its number of aircraft operated from 6 to 19, routes from 5 to 17 now. Mm-hmm. And the revenue grew exponentially during that period. Unfortunately, the maturity and the disciplines in the finances did not grow at the same pace as the top line of business activity levels. And it is for that reason that at some point, the Auditor General had to do like three audits in 1 year. Finance people will tell you that when you're having to do so many audits in 1 year, you hardly have the space to take corrective actions. Last year in F25, it was one audit.
Yeah.
And the situation was not completely bleak because the Auditor General did acknowledge that there were improvements at the SAA airline, that there were improvements at Airchefs to the degree that they were comfortable to upgrade Airchefs from disclaimer to qualified. We acknowledged that there are challenges at one of the subsidiaries, and which is sad, and you're asking the questions, what are we doing with those findings? Multiple initiatives are already in place across the group. We have formed steering committees within each division, and we've got cross-group steering audit committees where we can learn basically cross-pollinate the company with learnings from successes gained in different divisions, cross-pollinate capability as well, and on issues that are common, jointly collaborate with internal audits, even as with external audit to effect improvements. We have instituted the loss control function, for example, and we are serious about consequence management. There are instances at one of the divisions, which is mm-hmm. called SAD, where matters that were raised by the Auditor General were thoroughly investigated through our own internal group investigations. People were held to book. People were dismissed. Yeah. Some matters are still under investigation as we speak. So we take these findings seriously, and where we can prove poor actions mm-hmm. By individuals in the company, action will be taken.
Okay. And will South Africans start to see some of those consequences before the next audit outcome?
Yes. In fact, last week we were at the, we sat before the Parliamentary Committee on Appropriations, and I was able to give a short update of consequences that have already taken place. More than five individuals have been dismissed from the company, and their investigations are currently mm-hmm. going on as a result of non-compliance, irregular, fruitless expenditure, as well as call it instances of theft and misconduct. We will continue on that path going forward.
Oh, that's very good. Just turning to some of the financial performance of the group, there has been a turnaround, but a lot of that was also due to the 155 million profit that relied on that Heathrow slot that was sold. And so the loss, there was a profit loss, and the AG flagged it as probably understated. So what is the honest operational break-even point? Or is SAA, like, the trajectory currently above or below it? And I think the question that I'm asking, that many South Africans are asking, is SAA a sustainable business? Because we've been here before, and there's been bailouts that has helped it limp along.
That's a valid question. Firstly, I'd like to say bailouts is not part of our strategy at the moment. We are planning on running a sustainable operation that can fund its own growth through optimized savings, optimized costs, and efficiencies. And that is the current strategy that we're pursuing going forward. There's been incremental improvement in the underlying performance of the company, and that is going to accelerate in F24 on an underlying level. But let me introduce a subject here that is quite important for us, Lindsay. The shock that has happened in the aviation industry from the 28th of February this year with the war that started in Iran, that has caused an escalation in the price of aviation fuel in South Africa. Estimates range from 140 to 150%. Now, traditionally, aviation fuel accounts for about 30% of your ticket price. When that increases by that amount, airlines have had to adjust their business models through a multiplicity of factors, revenue growth adjustments or revenue adjustments, fare adjustments, if I can put it that way, through fare levies and fare increases, as well as cost cuts around the value chain in partnership with all partners, suppliers, and even internally looking at quality, turning over every rock to ensure that there's no waste in the organization. Yeah. We are not spared that as SAA. Just like any airline across the world, we are facing that as an immediate challenge and opportunity, if you like. So the real and true measure that is applicable under these circumstances for airline sustainability is not profit in the traditional sense. It is cash. Cash is okay. Key. And I'm grateful that we have got support from agents, suppliers, staff, and the shareholder that is keeping us cash positive at this point in time. And our job is to protect our cash position, to ride out the storm, and make ourselves to be ready for the next wave of growth that will inevitably come when the hostilities in the Middle East
come to an end.
So just on that growth topic. So there were three Heathrow slots. One was sold in 2012, one last year to fund operations, basically, and one remains. So does that growth strategy require long-haul route expansion? And in that context, is that remaining Heathrow slot a growth asset or a liquidity reserve?
No, it's not a liquidity reserve. We do not have any intention to sell that slot in Heathrow. The pace of our recovery and growth, as well as our aircraft acquisition as an airline, will determine how fast we can be able to fly to the UK again. Obviously, economics plays into the effect. We need to have the right product, the right aircraft, with the right economic structure to be able to fly there. That will be an ongoing assessment of ours. We have to have the right economics. Secondly, we have to have the right aircraft and the right product, and then the right efficiencies to be able to do that profitably. To answer your question once again, there's no intention to liquidate that slot. We are running the business through a strategy that maximizes on the current revenue and reimagining or redesigning the business model to generate that revenue on a cash generative basis.
Talking about aircraft, like I like that conversation, but obviously given the trajectory of the business so far, you guys are a little bit behind in the order queue for new age aircrafts. What's the strategy going ahead with the leasing agreements that are out there? And are we going to see more like old China Air aircraft that are going to be joining the SAA fleet?
There is definitely a shortage in the market of new aircraft. And this is a phenomenon that started during COVID. The major aircraft manufacturers have got books where we are hearing, you know, aircraft deliveries, you know, as late as early 2030s, for example. But then there's also aircraft in the market. As we grow, as our economics improve, we will look at both options of acquiring aircraft, whether it be new or call it pre-loved, as you would hear in other industries. Mm. Okay. My view is this. It's not about the newness of the aircraft. It's about how well you look after it. It's about how well you kit it. It's about the passenger experience that you put on board. In fact, one airline executive put it better than I can. He says that passengers do not necessarily want new aircraft, but they want aircraft that do not feel old. So as SAA, with the fleet that we have, we will continuously be investing in it to modernize it, improving it, so that we can provide great experience for our passengers, regardless of whether we buy 5, 10, 15-year-old aircraft. When it lands in the market, it must land as a new positive experience for the passengers. Do we like new aircraft? Of course, everybody does. But it must be economically sound. It must be an economically sound decision to get there.
Yeah, but I mean, given the current economics of jet fuel, the newer aircraft are a lot more fuel efficient. There's newer ideas about what a wide-body intercontinental flight looks like. And not having that puts you at the operational, like strategic disadvantage, because you can't be price competitive because you have to price that those overheads are still going to stay that high.
It's an economic decision. The new aircraft, a typical new aircraft wide body could cost north of $300 million. Okay, you can do the conversion. So everything has the break-even point. I admit that there are better fuel economics on those new aircraft, but you have now to compare it against ownership costs, depreciation costs, and arrive at a point we say, at what point is it better to own an old one than to buy a new one which is fuel efficient, and be methodical about it and not make a decision just based on one variable alone? Obviously, for us, it doesn't help the situation now that there's a shortage in any case of the new aircraft. We will make sure and work with what we have, renew it, and generate the sufficient scale so that when the market turns, we'll be in a position to continue to upgrade our fleet.
But I mean, that also speaks to a lot of the complexity behind this kind of turnaround that you are now in charge of. So at AirChef, you produce 11,000 meals a day at 98% on-time performance inside 18 months. That's amazing. But the airline is a different animal. So what is the one metric that South Africans can hold you accountable to? Not like a general commitment to governance. What can South Africans say? What can they measure your tenure by after the next audit comes out, which is about July?
They told me you're not going to ask difficult questions, and I think somebody didn't tell me the full.
I'm very sorry.
Yes, I think luckily this is a team effort. So you're not asking Marcella Sichibeda's question. You're asking the whole of SAA, and I'm proud to lead the organization. Mm-hmm. There are multiple metrics depending on who the stakeholder is. And one of those the metric, if you are a passenger, you are looking for on-time arrival and you are looking for good service that we are well known for as an airline. And that's what we commit to continue to provide. There was an article in another a newspaper last week, which spoke very highly of the well-known service that we provide through our full service model, the attentiveness of our staff, the general warmth and ubuntu that our staff provide. The South Africans can continue to expect SAA that will continuously improve on service and on its on-time performance. And yes, as the minister said, an improvement in the audit outcomes. I started my tenure on the 16th of April. So yes, last year's financial year was already done when I started. It ended on the 31st of March, 2026. So really, if I were to make a commitment that is during the period that I am acting, is a commitment of the outcomes that will come next year in July, August, after the activities that we put in place would have taken place. And I've already noticed some of those items. For me, governance is a non-negotiable, Lindsay. That is a message that we will continue to hammer and preach within the organization, because it gives us a license to trade, a license to engage with our stakeholders, our lenders, as well as our suppliers. They expect an SAA that is run professionally, with clean books and clean records that are credible, and the whole management team is behind that effort.
No, that's good, and I'm willing to give you the grace, because everybody needs that grace period, because you've barely got your feet in under the table, and it was, I mean, the board says something else, but it was your predecessor also says something else, but it was an unexpected kind of turn of events.
Yeah,
but just from your perspective. In the position that you are now, right? There are many South Africans who don't believe that we need a national carrier. What do you say? What is your grand vision of, like, what role does SAA as the national carrier play for the country?
I'm saying that question is based on a false premise. It conflates two things, ownership and operational performance. They are very good national carriers out there that are doing wonders for their country, both sustainably and profitably, and they are contributing immensely to their economies, to their fiscus, through tourism, through expansion of industries around those, and through basically projecting a good image for those countries. If you look at the top airlines in the world, the moment in terms of service and some even in terms of profitability, they are owned by the states. So the question whether we need a national carrier or not, based on one variable, I think has got that false premise that I'm referring to. What I think the question should be is whether South Africa or South Africans can run a successful national carrier that fulfills its mandate as dictated by the shareholder, sustainably, whether it be economic, whether it be job creating, whether it be enhancing the brand of proudly South Africa, and whether it takes the tail of South Africa to the outer corners of the world and exposes South African excellence. That should be the question. My answer to that question is yes. We believe that there is a role for a national carrier that bears the South African flag across the world, But equally, we believe that the national carrier must be run sustainably in order to be able to fulfill all its mandates. And that is what the leadership team, the executive team, as well as the team, basically the staffers of SAA, are committed to do.
That's very fair. And just in closing, so SAA now falls completely under the Department of Transport. What is your dealings with the ministry been? Have the goals been shared with you? Are you working towards aligning with those goals? And then what role does SAA play in that context in terms of air freight and helping out with a lot of those logistics problems that are facing South Africa right now?
Well, on this one, I will say, please give me time. I've been in the job for less than a month. The interaction between SAA and the ministry is happening through the board. And I know that there's ongoing discussions around that in order to make sure that there's alignment. What I do know is that there is support for the airline from the shareholder, and everybody wants to see the national carrier succeed, including the department. And that's the mission of this executive and the rest of the team.
Yeah. Thank you very much for this, Machele. It has been an absolute pleasure and an honor. And man, I hope there aren't any bad headlines coming where, like, the taxpayer who is the shareholder needs to be coming to the aid of SAA.
Thank you. As I said right at the beginning, a bailout is not part of our strategy. A shareholder exists to guide the implementation of his strategy. And I think vision is to grow the airline. And we share that. So to the degree that we are aligned on that, we'll obviously continue to rely on their support in multiple ways, including financially. But not to bail out the airline for financial and operating losses, but to drive the growth of the airline so that it can fulfill its mandate going forward.
Cool. Thank you very much.